There's no mention in relationship to the showbread itself. I don't think there's any mention that specifically that says it was unleavened bread. However, the meal offering, since it's connected to the meal offering in Scripture, the meal offering did have unleavened bread in it. So so we would assume then, if it's okay to assume, we would assume then that the table, the showbread was unleavened.
Yeah. I think that's a good, sorry, somebody else? Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
Like assuming either. So I looked it up. Yeah, in Leviticus 2, there is a in verse
that's
11,
the meal offering.
Yeah, no oblation that you present to the Lord shall be made with leaven, period. Right. That's following the meal offering.
Well, and I was going to say, connected with that, there is this one on the, now I'm going to forget the event, when they would lift the two loaves, the wave loaves, and the that they actually were made with leaven.
That's
but it
right.
specifically says there with leaven. And since we don't have that, I think it's a good safe thought that we would assume that it was not with leaven for the reasons that are mentioned. So then let's talk a little bit about the fact that the priests would take this in. The priests would be eating, finding their nourishment, so to speak. It was only once a week, so obviously it's a figurative, you know, this wasn't the only thing they were eating. But every week, every Sabbath, they would put new loaves. Let's just look at Leviticus 24, just to kind of elaborate what's being said here. Leviticus 24, and... Yeah, go ahead, go ahead. We'll come back to that, to this.
Just because there's a couple mentions on it, on this, whether it's the manna or this, is there any element of atonement that comes out of the showbread or the manna or not?
Well, let's put it to the group first. Any thoughts on that? Is there any atonement pictured in the... And by atonement, we mean a covering for sin. Is there any sense of a covering for sin being presented or portrayed in the manna or in the showbread?
I think we know from other places in the Pentateuch that whenever there is sin, there has to be blood shed. So in that sense, I don't think there is any atonement being spoken about here. Obviously, Jesus had to be perfect in order to be the sacrifice, mm-hmm. but not directly. There's no sense of atonement here. What we do see here is... The ark was the thing that would lead the people of Israel, right? And it was the mobile table, but this is, or ark, but the table is also mobile. It has the poles to be carried. And it's the second thing. Wherever the ark goes, the table would follow. And it's just a nice picture, I think. If we said yes, or on Sunday, that the ark is the thing that is God's will and it's leading us, you know, it's the direction that we have from Christ, then the table of showbread shows us that wherever Christ leads us, we're going to have the resources we need to be sustained there.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And just to underscore that, the link between the ark and the table both had the same character of being made with the acacia wood overlaid with gold.
Yeah, good.
And those are the only two things with that attribute.
Yeah, that's very good. And so we can say that the loaves, which have this character, I think that's a good answer to that question about the atonement, that it, you must find blood when there's going to be a payment or a covering for sin. But the fact that there would be possibility of atonement is based upon who Christ was, and he was displayed. You know, it's like when they would take the Passover lamb in Exodus, and it said, you take the lamb into your house on the 10th day of the month, but you don't kill it till the 14th day of the month. And it's as if they would have those three whole days corresponding with three whole years of Christ's ministry to prove to themselves that the lamb they took was perfect. They took a perfect, spotless lamb, an unblemished lamb. They would bring that into their house, and they would have it there for 3 days, from the 10th day to the 14th day. The 3 days in between, obviously. I know that's four. But on the 14th day, then, they would kill that lamb. Having demonstrated beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is a perfect lamb. So his sinless, spotless life is the basis for the fact that he could be qualified as the Savior. And the fact of the table's construction, since we just touched on this, you know, this really, it supports the showbread, doesn't it? It lifts up the showbread. It's what the sinless character of Christ is based upon. His perfect humanity, the acacia wood, again, I know you talked about that on Sunday, covered with gold. His divinity, covered with pure gold. And the fact that it would be covered that's what God saw. But below it, that's what man could see, was the perfection of his humanity and the deity of his person. That's supporting the showbread. It's lifting it up and making it visible. It's a platform on which his perfect life can be seen, is this perfection of his character. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mentioned the three thoughts of the acacia wood on Sunday. I was reading last night one of those books there, and in one of them I really enjoyed the thought with the acacia wood that number one, it was a thorny tree, and you can make your references there. He was crowned with thorns. But also that if the tree was pierced, it would put forth sap. And the sap often was used for medicinal purposes. And there's application there that you can make. I really enjoyed it. For myself, I was meditating on that for a little bit. So I just wanted to give, since we gave a little bit about the acacia wood, I wanted to just attach that to it, too.
Yeah, good. So now it comes to the priests who are taking in this bread. This was their something that every Sabbath in Leviticus 24, verse 8, every Sabbath the high priest, would set it in order before the Lord continually. And verse 9, and it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, or in the holy place. What is the lesson for us? What is the application for us that they're taking this bread, they're eating this bread there? Anybody have a New Testament reference or some application to help us understand what's happening now? So the bread represents Christ in this aspect, and the priests now are eating that bread. Go ahead, Alex.
How did you know? Well, the first thing that I think of is that we are priests, priests to God. And so, and metaphorically speaking, we do eat the body of Christ in the breaking of bread. And of course, you could say that he nourishes us and sustains us, because that's true.
So. Yeah, very good. Anything else? What can we add to that?
I think it's interesting that you see here in the passage in Leviticus 24, it speaks to Sabbath after Sabbath, continually. This aspect of continually being able to bring to mind the things that God found pleasing, which was the life of Christ. And so I think there's, you know, an aspect of that we do each first day of the week when we gather, to continually bring to mind the person of Christ and what he's done.
If we're to continue the thought of Christ being who's before us, and then to connect that with Craig's thought of continually, there's also the thought of that it was every 7 days that... every Sabbath, and seven would speak of a whole lifetime. And Christ, it was throughout his whole life that he was pleasing to the Father. There was never a moment where he did not bring pleasure to God. And you know, before making the application of the bread and the wine, or breaking of bread, I think for us, he has for us set the example that we are to bring pleasure to God. Yeah. So I guess I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians 5, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where we celebrate the whole 7 days of unleavened, of holy living, life, pleasure, life that is pleasing to God.